Designed by Wingnut Social is brought to you by Wingnut Social, the leading interior design and home pro digital marketing agency. We know it works, so you don't have to. Learn more at wingnutsocial.com.
Have you hit a wall when it comes to growing your design business? Then welcome to Designed by Wingnut Social, helping home professionals accelerate their success with proven industry practices and expert advice.
Hey, kids, and welcome to Designed by Wingnut Social. I am your host, Darla Cootie Powell, and I am recovering from my one gazillionth cold since moving to Southern Maryland. I think I've had like six of them in the last 3 years, and coming from sunny Miami, where I had maybe one every 10 years. A coincidence? I think not. All right, but if you can stand my little schmutzy voice, I think you're going to get a lot out of this episode. Today's guest, Kathy Svetina, is a fractional CFO, and let me tell you a little bit about her here. You know, we got to do this. We just have to. We're obligated to tell you about our guest, you know, sue me. Kathy Svetina is a financial expert who specializes in helping small businesses with an annual revenue of $3 million or more to build financially healthy and sustainable businesses. She is the founder of Newcastle Finance, a company that offers fractional CFO services. We're going to tell you what that is and why it's important. And it is to growing small businesses. Kathy is also the host of the Help My Business is Growing podcast. I love that name. Her experience includes nearly 14 years of senior level financial planning and analysis for Fortune 500 companies. She now uses her expertise to teach small businesses how financial information can be leveraged to drive their business forward. In this episode, Kathy and I talk about how much commission are you paying your interior designers? What does that look like? What is adjustable gross income? Why is that not as important as gross income? What's the difference between someone who does your taxes and someone who's actually helping you plan the future of your business to get you out of spinning your wheels? If you have your head in the sand like an ostrich and you don't know what you're looking at from a financial aspect, and you're just delegating it to a bookkeeper or to an accountant, I think you're going to get a lot of value out of this episode. She opened my eyes to some stuff as a business owner, and I'm always here to learn. I don't know everything. I don't know a lot. So I'm always learning from my guests, and she definitely did that for us. Before I get in my conversation with Kathy Svetina, I wanted to remind you guys that Wingnut Social, right? We're a marketing agency for interior designers. And I know if you've reached out to us in the past 6 months or so, our search engine optimization and our Google Ads pay-per-click services have been on a wait list. But I'm here to tell you right now that we are full balls to the wall moving forward with those services. The wait list is opened up. There's no longer a wait on that. So if you're looking for an agency to help your website with search engine optimization, so when people are Googling, hey, and I'm looking for an interior designer in Jolly Fats, Weehawken, and you want to show up for that, if that happens to be where you are, then you're going to need search engine optimization. And the synergy with SEO and what Google can do for you in the synergy with social media is a beautiful marriage. So even if you're an existing client and you're like, you know what, the website juice, people who are just Googling for me aren't finding me, we can help you out with that. So head on over to wingnutsocial.com to check out those services there. All right, that's enough of that. Let's get into my conversation with Kathy Svetina. Hey there, Kathy Svetina. Welcome to the show. How the hell are you?
I'm really good. Thanks so much for having me, Darla.
It's my pleasure to have you on the show, and thank you so much for rescheduling. I know that you had a cold a couple of weeks ago, and now I do. You gave it to me virtually.
I did. Yes. I apologize.
It's okay. We're good to go though. As long as you're okay with me sounding like a frog, then we can dive in. Are you game?
I'm 100% okay with that.
All right. So Kathy, we've had guests on the show before that were fractional CFOs and talking about the finance and business, right? But it's been a minute since we've done this, and it, especially now tax season, right? It's so important. And your show is going to be airing very quickly as after we record this. So hopefully it'll be timely and help some of our listeners. But before we dig into some of our topics here for financial help for small business owners, interior designers, tell me just a little bit about what makes you an expert in this space, and we'll dig in.
So one thing I will tell you that a fractional CFO should not be doing your taxes. If they are, you don't have a fractional CFO. You have an accountant that is charging you for fractional CFO services, and they're probably overcharging you. So that's a little bit right there. And a fractional CFO is really someone that is overseeing your finances, overseeing your bookkeeper, your accountant, your taxes, but they're not doing the taxes. And they're helping you plan for the future. So strategically plan for the future. They're doing budgeting, forecasting, cash flow planning, figuring out your workforce planning. Are you hiring the right people? Who should you be hiring? So all that good stuff that you need as the business grows. And I've been doing this in my own business for the last 5 years, but I've been doing the same thing for big companies. I used to work in Fortune 500 companies for 15 years. So I've been doing this for quite a long time.
Well, nice. That's awesome. And we, in the green room, we were just talking about your podcast, which I told the listeners, Help My Business is Growing podcast. You just hit 100 episodes?
Yes, we are just about to hit 100 episodes. Not all 100 have been released since, you know, once this episode comes out, but we do have a lot of them in the backlog that are being released every week.
That's awesome. Congrats. I know firsthand how hard that can be to keep that going. So congrats on that. That's no small feat.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a journey and it's a beast, you know, with all the production and post-production. So I know exactly what you're going through.
Yeah, it is a beast. Okay, so my first question for you is there, why can't your fractional CFO do your taxes? Why can't they, if they're qualified to do that, when that rolls around, is there a conflict of interest? Is there just, what is the reasoning behind that?
The main thing is that finance and accounting are two different things. And the reason why I say that is because if a fractional CFO is doing your taxes, which they can if you're a very small business, you're essentially, they are focusing on the wrong thing. Taxes are obviously important, but what a fractional CFO should really be doing is looking at your business holistically and helping you plan. So taxes are very detail-oriented and specific, and there's, you know, taxes need to be done. But a fractional CFO, their focus should be on the future and on helping you manage your business well. And the reason why I say that is because a lot of the accountants, because the way how they are trained, for example, they will look at how do we minimize cost. The problem with that is when you're minimizing cost, you can be doing things that are not going to result in a healthy and sustainable business. And one of the things that I always say, it's so easy to have a profitable business, showing it on your P&L that it's profitable. But that doesn't mean that it's going to be sustainable, because what you could do, you could fire a bunch of people, you can slash your cost, and it's going to look good. You're going to have a profit. But the problem is that, you know, a couple of months down the road, a year down the road, maybe 2 years down the road, the business is going to be hurting. So the person that is giving you that type of advice really needs to have that holistic view of the business. What are they doing right now and how is it going to affect it down the future? And this is the difference between accounting and finance. Finance is very future focused. Accounting is very now focused and focused in the past.
I see. Okay. So that makes a lot of sense, right? So a fractional CFO is helping you in a lot of ways to develop the business and the future of the business, to get it to a valuation, to where if you want to sell the business, et cetera, that kind of thing. So in an ideal world as a business, you should have a CFO, a bookkeeper, and an accountant.
Yes. So it seems like you have a lot of people, but every single person is doing a different thing in your business. You know, just when you're building a house, you don't say, I just need an architect. You need other people that are going to be building it. The same thing with the business as well, especially as you're growing. And I generally work with businesses that are, you know, close to 10 million and 10 million and up. You need that structure. And the more you grow, the more structure you need and the more specialized those people need to be, because the way how they're going to help you is going to be different and is going to really help your business grow in a healthy and sustainable way.
Yeah, I love that. And I love the way that you broke that down. And it's one of the reasons, going back in the green room, so the name of your podcast is Help My Business is Growing. Kind of, I want to circle back to that, because you're right. You can cut employees, you can cut some expenses, and your black and white will look healthy, but you're not growing, right? Probably you are going to hurt yourself. That's going to be like that slinky dog down the air, because especially if you're growing and scaling your business, the types of businesses that you work with, those $10 million interior design build firms, but small businesses, are not cutting cost to spite themselves, right? And that seems like a huge thing as interior designers, as creatives. We don't have training in this stuff to have that input, because a lot of times designers will be like, oh my gosh, that's that investment in my business, like say for marketing, for example, which is what we do here at Wingnut Social, mm-hmm. we do marketing for interior design firms, help to grow their reach and awareness, to build their business, the word for their business, get them clients. But the initial investment isn't small. And they get really kind of intimidated sometimes, some of the smaller businesses. And sometimes their accountant will say, oh no, this is too much. You can't afford this. But not being, having, right, exactly, you're shaking your head. But not having that mindset of understanding what the marketing is going to get you to that $5, $10 million sphere down the road. And I've run into that. I've had interior designers come to me and say, okay, let me run this by my accountant before then. I've just been like, ugh. Where if they had said, I'm going to run this by my CFO, I would have been like, okay, great. We're looking forward to working with you. So I'm monologuing a little bit, but just extrapolate on that difference again for us, just so it's super fine and clear.
Yeah. And you touch on a point where I have a lot of thoughts on that. And one of the things that I've always seen in also in the bigger businesses too, is that marketing funding, the budget for marketing seems to be more like a slush fund. It's like, where can we cut our costs? Let's cut it off of marketing. And it drives me crazy because if you are planning to grow the business, if you want to do certain things, like we need to grow our revenue by 20%. Great. But let's cut our marketing by, you know, 50%. It's like, really? How do you expect me to do that? And this is what drives me crazy, is because marketing is seen as a slush fund versus a fund that is an investment in the business.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm not just saying, you know, let's throw money into marketing as much as we can. I'm saying is, let's look at the marketing funds that we have. Mm-hmm. Can we optimize it? And how do we stretch the dollar as much as we can so that it actually does stuff for the business? Because marketing really is an investment vehicle for the business. And it's not 100%. Something that, you know, you're going to be just cutting whenever. And it's going to, and if you are, it's really going to affect you down the line. And again, and as you have so eloquently said, that's the difference between someone who is in finance and is looking at the business strategically and looking at the business from a long-term mm-hmm. view versus a cost accountant who is looking at, okay, this is going to be a $50,000 cost. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of money. Yeah. Let's cut that. And yeah, it doesn't work that way.
And then going back to my Slinky Dog analogy, a year or 2 years from now, they're wondering, why are my referrals dying down? Why don't I not have clients? And then they have to play that Slinky Dog catch up. And it's cost them twice as much to get to regain in that momentum that their competitors who have been investing. But this is just, you know, it's a little self-serving. I have a marketing agency, but this is the example that I'm very intimately familiar with. You know, as far as having that big picture thinking to grow from a $500,000 firm or a small business into a big business that you can sell one day, retire, and provide that lifestyle for yourself and your family. So I do appreciate that. What are some other, aside from marketing, what are some other things like that a CFO provides that kind of tough love, right? Of you need to be investing in this for your business that maybe an accountant or that black and white binary person wouldn't really be able to advise on or be uncomfortable doing so.
A good CFO should understand that everything that you do in your business would eventually end up in your finances. So from the fact of how you run your operations, how you treat your people, how you're onboarding people, what type of people are you recruiting? Those are all the things that seem like they are far removed from finances, but they're not. Because, for example, if you have a management issue in terms of the way how you manage people is not in a way that is good for your business, and then you have a revolving door, you're constantly going to have an issue with your customer service, with your operations, which is going to cost you money at the end. Also, if you have to recruit people, you're going to constantly have to be paying recruiting fees. And it is just going to put so much strain on your business and also on the operations, right? And on the finances eventually. So a good CFO should understand that. And the way how to think about a CFO is someone who understands a little bit about a lot of things, and it's able to pull those dots together and compile them into financial model, or make adjustments by actually hiring people that can help you with that. So a good CFO should be a connector Like, for example, I have a potential client that currently is looking for employee ownership stocks. And how do we manage that? And how do we actually put that together, right? So that it moves the business and it drives the business forward.
That's cool.
A good CFO should be able to have those connections where a particular lawyer that is actually good with that, or someone who is in HR that understands those nuances and put you in connections with those people. Not someone who's just looking at the numbers, but is looking at the business holistically and helping you understand the landscape and how is that going to affect your finances right now and in the future.
Good to know. Okay, so we are talking, this is leading me up to my next question about using data to drive your financial decisions and not your gut. Because if you're an interior designer, maybe you're a solopreneur or you're a small business, your gut might say, cut the marketing budget, or you might, you know, because you don't know what you don't know. So tell me about the difference on using data-driven decisions versus just, you know, making decisions from your head or your heart. You know, what's the difference there? Because a lot of business owners, I see them on the daily, interior designers are just kind of winging it, not wing nutting it, but winging it.
And I can, the best way that I can show the difference with the data is if I tell you a story of one of my clients.
Perfect.
When we first started working together, they had a couple of designers that were on a commission, and they had a salary and that I had a commission. When we started looking at the numbers, we ended up discovering that the commission plan, and I'm putting this in quotes because it really wasn't a plan. It was basically something that their accountant, actually their bookkeeper, slapped together without really looking at the business. So what ended up happening was when we started unpeeling all those onions, we figured out that the business was actually giving out 20% of their gross profit as commission to their employees. Which eventually ended up that at the end of the day, the business was losing money because they were giving out basically everything to their employees. Yeah. And we were able to only figure this out because we looked at the data. But before that, the owner didn't know that because they were just making decisions based on their gut. It's like, okay, it seems fine to me. I have cash in the business. And the reason why they had cash in the business is because particularly there were design build, they took a lot of money up front. Obviously, as the project were coming, you're taking a lot of money up front, and then the cost and everything and comes trickling down later. And they were always paying, robbing Peter to pay Paul. And it was a huge problem. So what we ended up doing when we looked at all this data, we had to completely revamp the commission plan to make it something more sustainable. Obviously, the salespeople weren't happy because now they weren't given the world. But if we didn't do that, the business would have failed and it would have been a disaster.
I was going through a rebrand in my company and having a new website built. And I brought in Wingnut at around the same time and had them do a strategy. In that strategy, I found it to be really comprehensive and actionable. I, like probably many designers, find Instagram to be such a bear. I understand that it is so, so important. It is a visual medium. What we do is so visual, but it's an entire full-time job, and with running a business and actually doing design, it was just really not feasible for me to keep up that pace with Instagram if I ever wanted to sleep. So working with Wingnut, they have taken all of that off of my plate, which honestly is the most invaluable piece of working with Wingnut.
So Jamea, I'm curious, a couple of the things that you adjusted there. I'm sure you had to look at the AGI, not just the overall grossing, the adjusted grossing income, right? Reduce that after costs and expenses of, you know, acquiring that sale and everything. What are some of the bullet points there? If someone's out there like, oh my God, I'm just paying my, you know, a designer straight commission, what are some things that they need to be asking their CFO or their bookkeeper to start changing immediately?
So the AGI is a tax terminology, right? Adjusted gross income. We don't use that in finance because that is a tax terminology, but we use gross income. Basically, a gross income is whatever comes into your business, and then you have a gross profit. So the way how to look at it is whenever someone pays you, that's income to you, and then you have costs associated with that specifically, like you buying materials, you might be, you know, if you're a design build, you might be paying contractors or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. You reduce that income by the cost, that will give you a gross profit. And okay. Everything else, like marketing you talked about, your accountant, your people, whatever it might be, that is in the operating expenses. So gross profit minus operating expenses comes to net income. So as you're putting this commission in plan, there are two things that you should be really looking at. One is looking at the business holistically in terms of making sure that you have enough gross profit in place so that you can actually pay all those people. So before you're starting to put the commission plan in place, look at the business. What are your expenses for the next couple of months, at least for the next year?
Sure.
And figure out where the business is going to be. Obviously, then we also have to figure out where the growth is going to be. And then the other thing that it's really, so you're looking at the numbers, what makes sense for the business. And then the other thing which gets overlooked when people are looking at their commission plans is what type of behavior do you want to drive with your salespeople? And that is super important because, for example, if you want them to just sell, they will sell, you know, the most that they can. But
sure.
If you want them to hit a specific gross profit margin, then mm-hmm. you might be initiating them on the gross profit margin. So the best way to think about that is, again, what the numbers are telling you, and then what type of behavior are you rewarding, right? That are they bringing the right business in, or are they bringing any type of business in? Because if they're bringing the business in, and then you have to go and really over-service that particular client because they're just, you know, they're not going to be a good client for you. Exactly. They're not going to be a good client for you for whatever reason. That is not a good way to drive the revenue and grow your business.
Yeah, quality over quantity. So you have to think about what that looks like and that ideal client and having a tiered structure of some sort, I imagine, or for different things. That's, you know, I mean, this is a 10-hour show, right? That we could go into on this. So we're just really just touching the surface of this. So it does sound like if you are struggling with this, you're going to need to call up Kathy or get some better clarity on this subject here.
Or get a fractional CFO that mm-hmm. actually has a finance background, not an accounting background, but a finance background.
Yeah, for sure. I made that error. I had a salesperson, it was about a year ago or so, and I was paying out the, it was too much because I made some mistakes. That was before I had my CFO. So yeah, I feel that pain intimately. Okay. So in the time that we have left, let's talk about financial health checks, right? So we might be overwhelming some of our listeners who are like, oh, you know, I'm in deep doo-doo. I don't even know where to start to see where I'm even at. So what are the financial health checks? You know, what are they and how can we see where we're at?
So the financial health check is really a place for you to understand where you are in the business. And that's something that I look at before I start to work with the client. I really want to understand where you are with your accounting. Because especially if you are getting a lot of money up front for your design project, we need to make sure that you are not spending that money willy-nilly because the cost is going to come and bite you later on. So we need to make sure that your accounting is set up properly. And then we have to figure out that you have the right systems, financial systems in your place. So what does that mean? That you're using the right tools, sometimes specific system for a like an app, for example, like a software can really take the load off of your project management. There's a lot of tools out there, especially like for if you're doing a design build, like almost like a remodeling construction type of project. Sure. There's a lot of those out there because they're really going to help you with making sure that you're tracking the contracts the right way, that the payments are all there, all of that good stuff. And that is going to significantly alleviate this. How am I doing? Am I profitable or am I not profitable? So that's a good way. And then the third thing is having someone that can actually do the financial analysis for you. And a lot of times you know, a bookkeeper can do some of the basic stuff. Sure. One of the things that's really interesting and what we use in finance, it's called the common sizing. What that is we are anchoring your income at 100%. And then we're looking at all the other expenses that you have in your profit and loss statement. And we're trying to see how much of that particular expense is taking over your income. So essentially what we're saying is for every dollar that you bring in, how much does it go towards your cost of goods sold? How much does it go towards your marketing? How much does it go towards your people? And that is really helpful when you're trying to make decisions of where do I need to put my resources and where is my money actually going? That's a good thing. So that is one way of doing financial analysis. And then, of course, then you have to do the financial forecasting and the budgeting. That's really important. And then the fifth piece, which is something that gets overlooked so much in small businesses, in making sure that you have proper internal controls. And what that means is that the person, especially if you have one person doing all your bookkeeping, that they're not basically having all the kinks to your kingdom, because there have been, and I can tell you, there's so many times when I have conversation with business owners that people might have like stole from them in the past.
Oh no.
Which is just, it's uncomfortable to think about, but that's the reality, unfortunately. So that you have these things in place that doesn't happen. For example, one of the easiest thing is if they are putting in the bills for you, that they're not also reconciling and paying them, because someone can easily put a invoice in there that is a fraudulent invoice and they can pay themselves.
I hate to think about that, but I mean, it happens. You see those stories every day.
Yep.
What we have, and I'm sure you know, is for our bank accounts and everything, is we have user management, you know, logins, they get their own, you're right. So yep. That seems to help do that. So one of the, usually in our space, and I'm sure you've seen this as well, since you work primarily with design build firms, our first hire when we're scaling our business is a bookkeeper, That's the first thing that we offload, right? So should we make that a double whammy and do bookkeeper and CFO? How big do we need to be or start thinking before we hire a CFO in line with that thinking?
And that's a great question. So a CFO really, and you will start, it depends on not just on the revenue where you are in your business, but also the type of questions you're asking. So if you're growing really fast and you're saying, well, when should I hire people? How should I hire these people? What should my margins be? I just don't know how to answer those questions myself. That is the time that you can rope in a fractional CFO. And you have fractional CFOs that work with a lot smaller businesses. Like I said, I am basically, about 10 million and up, but you have ones that work with a lot smaller businesses, and you can have that conversation with them if they can help you with it. The bookkeepers are really, if you cannot afford to have someone like that, that's going to overlook your bookkeeper as well, then don't just delegate your numbers to one person. What do I mean by that? That be curious. Every single month, look at your bank statements, look at your vendor list, and look at your profit and loss statement and balance sheet. Balance sheet is where a lot of stuff happens. Because you can hide a lot of things on a balance sheet, because owners generally don't really look at the balance sheet, because they're like, well, I'm really looking at profit. Do I have profit or do I not have profit? And do I have cash or do I not have cash? Right.
Yeah,
and everything else I don't really care about. But a balance sheet is a wealth of information. So if you understand what the balance sheet actually tells you and how to read it, you are going to be so much better at making decisions about your business. And you're going to know if something doesn't look right. If something doesn't look right in your profit and loss or an income statement, or if something doesn't look right on your balance sheet, then have that conversation with the bookkeeper and say, hey, what's happening here, right?
Yeah. Why are you embezzling? No, I'm just kidding.
And I will say most bookkeepers, like 99%, don't do that. But there are some out there that unfortunately have, I have had 3 clients so far where the bookkeeper was doing weird stuff and it was just bad. Yeah.
Yeah, it exists. You have to, you can't just assume that everybody's on the up and up. You have to, unfortunately, you know, just be, have your knowledge to at least where you can spot some things. And if you can't, then have someone like yourself. I appreciate that. So, Kathy, is there anything I've forgotten to ask you that you think the audience needs to hear before we get into the What Up Wingnut round?
The one thing that I would say that's going to make the most impact to your business is if you're planning, not just looking at it from a day-to-day type of operations, because I know when we are busy, we really get heads down, but truly planning, where do you want your business to be, and put a simple budget together. Budgeting does not have to be a month or a week-long effort. Just look at your financial statements and figure out, where do I want my revenue to be and where do the expenses are going to be? Where do I expect them to be? That is really the simplest exercise that you can do for your business. And then every single month, compare to where did you think that the budget was at and what changed. And if something needs to change in your projections, change that as well. That is the main thing that I see that really drives the businesses forward, having those projections, because now you know where your money is going. You're going to start asking questions. You're going to be more curious. You're going to have more conversations with your finance people, and you're going to be more educated where your money is going. So that's going to make a huge impact.
I love it. Thank you so much. So Kathy Svitina, now I have to ask you, are you ready for the What Up Wingnut round?
I so am.
I believe that you are excited. What would the hashtag on your tombstone be?
It would be hashtag curious, because I have curiosity about a lot of things, almost about everything.
Awesome. You're stuck on a deserted island. You can have your one favorite food forever. What is it?
Mashed potatoes, 100%.
Oh, good choice. I like it. There's some potassium and vitamin C in potatoes, little known fact.
Yeah.
Not bad. Just from a survival standpoint, you're not going to get scurvy. I love it. I think, right? There is some vitamin C.
I think so, yeah.
Last but not least, please recommend a book that's impacted you either personally or professionally.
When I was in my last class in college, we had to read this book, and it has made a significant impact in my life, and I really love it. And it's called The World of Yesterday by Stefan Zweig. And he was a writer in Vienna. And one of the interesting things about that book was that it actually shows how the world has changed when he was born in 1880s all the way to like 1945. Mm-hmm. And how the things have, like, things that were really secure type of environment in his 1880s, and how things have changed over the world, world wars. I really like that book. It just spoke to me. And it's really? He writes in such a good way. It is like, his prose is absolutely amazing. So that made a huge impact on me as I was, you know, a college
student. I'll have to check that out. The World of Yesterday?
The World of Yesterday. Yep.
That sounds very, very interesting. That's a first. We haven't had that one on there.
And it's an autobiography too.
Oh, okay, cool. Kathy Svitina, please tell us where we can go to find out more about you and your amazing CFO situation, and we will call it a day.
Well, you can find me on my website, newcastlefinance.us. You can also connect with me on LinkedIn. I hang there all the time. Kathy Svitina, I'm the only one there. And you can also check out my podcast, Help My Business is Growing.
Help My Business is Growing. What a terrific name. Kathy, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me on, Darla. Appreciate it.
All right, guys, that is it for this episode. I do hope that you got some value from this and saw some eye-opening thoughts, right? I mean, Kathy said a couple of things. I'm like, oh, I need to go back and maybe kind of circle back and check on some of my processes there and who I have holding the keys, right? Yeah, so definitely some eye-opening stuff there. And if you're not a $5 million or a $3 million or a $10 million business, right, just I hope that she did put plant in your head the idea of how important it is to really just wrap your head around knowing what's happening with that balance sheet, that situation there for your business. I can hear my voice going. It's going. All right, guys, that is it for this episode. Make sure to follow us on YouTube at Design by Wingnut Social so you can see us in all our goofiness and catch those bloopers at the end. Sometimes the visual part of those is what really makes them special. And remember, until next week, to get out there, get uncomfortable, and be great.
You've reached the end of this episode of Designed by Wingnut Social, but that's only the first step into accelerating your business the Wingnut way. Head over to wingnutsocial.com or call us at 786-206-4331 to see how we can help take your business from meh to amazing. We'll see you on the next episode of Designed by Wingnut Social, your digital marketing tightly fastened.
You're stuck on a deserted island, but you can have your one favorite. Oh, sorry, edit. That's not the first question. It's a long way to Tipperary. Well, today's guest, and Mike Tyson, suddenly. Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers. Why? Why, Peter? Why did you need a peck of pickled peppers? Are you that into pickles? I think you need to check yourself.
Good boy, Mango.